With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are joined by the professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and clinical director of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Paul, I don't know whether to call you Dr. Uncle. I don't know whether just to call you Uncle Paul. I don't know. I have no idea how to address. How do you want me to address you during this interview?
How about just Paul?
Just Paul? Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm going to try to throw Doctor in there to remind people what's going on here. Because I tell people, like, constantly, what I say throughout this entire stretch here is listen to the experts. Because anybody that your favorite radio host is just parroting what they are reading from the experts. You are just that. So I'm happy that you could give us a couple minutes. And we are going to dive into everything involving around coronavirus. But we'll start with the sports angle, if that's all right with you. Okay?
Sure.
All right. Let's talk Trevor Bauer. So Trevor Bauer is a very self-serving individual, and it bothers me to my core. So he came out with this idea to have some sort of game where he just, again, Oscar Mercado was there, Mike Clevenger was there, and people are hurting themselves to try to pat him on the back. And I just, to me, it's the dumbest thing in the world. If everyone is telling you to stay home and to not even go out to restaurants, why would Trevor Bauer think a group setting with baseball players is the right idea?
Yeah, I mean, you've probably heard multiple places. We're advising that people not congregate in large groups. And, you know, we should keep our social interactions to a minimum. And when we do them, they should be with 6 feet or so between people. And that's really to prevent community spread of the virus. And by community spread of the virus, we're now assuming that the virus is present in almost every community. Even in parts of the country that haven't had a lot of it, probably have some of it already. And as a result, by doing so, we can avoid the big peak of infection that's happened in some countries, like happened in China, like happened in Iran, and happened in northern Italy. And those countries have really suffered. So we're trying to prevent that from happening.
Do you believe that Rudy Gobert was the catalyst for all of this? Because I look at the sports world. And I'm just talking from the, like, my bubble, from the sports bubble, as for why baseball is suspended and pushed back, why NBA is not having games and not addressing it for another 30 days. Like,
no, I wouldn't blame him. This is based on very sound epidemiologic evidence, and probably the best example that is multiply cited, I'm going to cite it again, is in 1918 when we had a terrible flu epidemic. Cities that decreased their big gatherings like parades and celebrations actually had fewer cases of severe flu, fewer deaths from the flu, and we're trying to do the same thing here. The other thing is that China went to very extreme measures to do so by even separating family members who had this infection that we're talking about right now, coronavirus. We're hoping to avoid such draconian measures, and by doing so, we're actually asking people to kind of self-segregate themselves. Still okay to go outside, still okay to see your family, but if you're sick, try to stay away from other people. Yeah, very important.
You mentioned 1918, and what I think is so fascinating is the difference between how St. Louis handled it and how Philadelphia handled it.
Exactly. It's what people say that all the time, and it's a very, very good example. Now, we have much better medical care than we did in 1918, and there are big differences medically between the 1918 flu and what we're seeing now with coronavirus, but nonetheless, the point is the same. These are both respiratory viruses. They spread from person to person. You get it from being in a room, being in close contact with someone who has it, who's got the active infection, and we want to prevent that as much as possible.
We're starting to see more and more cases, and we're starting to see more and more come out. From a sports perspective, if I look at some of these athletes, they think they're invincible. You know, Donovan Mitchell's in great shape. He works out a ton. He's a cartoon artist, drew his body, right? Like, he's amazing. But it can happen to anyone, right?
Yeah. So the important thing to for people to realize is that this infection is mild in most people, but in people who are weak and or weakened in some way, have other medical problems, or are elderly, they actually can get extremely sick and die. And they're the ones who have the worst outcomes from this. But here's an important point. Even some young people have gotten extremely sick, and there have been some deaths in otherwise healthy young people. Just like we see every year with the flu, there are some childhood deaths that are tragic. There are some young adult deaths that are tragic. Certainly that's being seen with this infection as well. Now, of course, most people who get it are going to recover just fine. Some may just have a mild cold or a cough. But we don't want to have any of those cases that I just described. They're just overwhelmingly tragic. So the goal right now is prevention.
Yeah, Elise and myself, we stayed in yesterday for the most part, and we've been trying to make sure that we stay in. I want to know from you, because I see you do your hits on MSNBC and all these different places, CNN, and like you yourself, are you going out to restaurants? Are you going out to eat? Or is this something that you just across the board, you understand it, this is what's going on?
First thing I want to mention is that restaurants are not all the same. The kind of restaurants that my kids in their 20s go to are very different from the ones that we go to. You know, really, we want to avoid crowds. Second, I want to say that I personally have decided not to go to restaurants, but I know that they are still open and that some people are going to them. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong right now, but I would not go to a situation. You know, for example, last night in Boston, there was a lot of crowding in some of the more popular bars and restaurants in the city in celebration of St. Patrick's Day. That happens every year. That really isn't good public health right now. We have to avoid situations where we're in crowds. Don't go voluntarily into those situations, because that's where the transmission of the virus can be fairly amplified. We have another example here in Boston. We had a biotech meeting a few weeks ago that led to a lot of infections. We really have to keep the size of the meetings very, very small, and that's key. Almost all of the medical conferences we have now at our hospital are done remotely, small groups, no larger than 25 in any one room. And really, all the businesses should take the messages from the way the doctors are doing it, and that includes professional sports.
He's Dr. Paul Sachs, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and clinical director of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, here on 92.3 The Fan. So when it comes to airlines and it comes to getting on a plane, I keep reading more and more people. And I remember I read when you were first on this, and I think the line you had was something like, all right, well, if the anxiety from going on a trip is enough to bother you, then, you know, maybe that's enough, but you can still do that. Is that still the case now, where you can advise people that it's okay to get on planes?
So we're in a different phase of the epidemic right now, because it's now a pandemic and it's absolutely everywhere. And one reason that we don't advise people to travel is because we want to be able to contain the infections where they are and not risk spreading them to other communities. I'm not saying that by traveling you're automatically at higher risk, but you could go from a high-risk area to a low-risk area or vice versa and end up ruining whatever protection that community had. The other thing is that when you travel, you don't have really control over your environment all the time. Mm-hmm. So, for example, everyone has been on a flight where they're sitting next to somebody who has a cough or a cold, and it's very annoying under normal circumstances. But in this circumstances, it could be more than annoying. It could be really very, very serious. And then the final point, just the lack of control over crowds. You might have seen the pictures of some of the customs and immigration areas in the U.S. airports. Because of the rush on travel, especially international travel, people are spending a lot of time in airports with lots of other people very closely packed together. And that is exactly the circumstance we are trying to avoid in this current coronavirus outbreak. So a lot of reasons not to travel. There are, of course, people who still need to travel. Travel is part of our world. There may be family reasons that need to travel. There may be personal reasons for travel. But in general, I would say elective business travel really shouldn't happen, and elective vacation travel, put it off a little while. You can almost always get that rescheduled until this is over.
What is the biggest misconception that you keep hearing over and over again throughout this as we've evolved and we are learning more and more?
Well, one misconception is that it is, quote, just like the flu. There are analogies between the flu and the coronavirus, but they really are quite different. Remember, we have a very good understanding of the seasonal nature of the flu. It comes every winter and then goes away. We also have a vaccine for the flu, which, although not 100% effective, probably does reduce the severity of the illness. And then we also have treatment for the flu. So that means that you know, we don't have any proven treatments for coronavirus right now. Finally, we have in with coronavirus a completely susceptible population. This is a virus that's new to humans, as far as we know. And because we have no natural immunity to it, it can really go through a community very quickly and have what we see early on, which is exponential spread. And so as a result, it is not exactly like the flu. It's not like it is maybe analogous to the flu. They're both viral respiratory infections, but they really are quite different.
So where are we right now as far as the progression of this? Because, yeah, I heard some people suggesting that maybe, and there's no such thing as reacting too early, but, it was glad that Major League Baseball and NBA and all these conferences, they shut it down when they did, but it would have been more of a blessing if they got to it a little bit earlier.
So we are a little bit behind in the United States of where we want to be because we had difficulty with rolling out our tests. And as a result, there were people in the United States with a coronavirus illness spreading it to others without even knowing it. Because most of the infections are mild, people can spread it without really kind of knowing. They just have a cough or a cold, and they spread it to another person. Now the testing is ramping up. We hope that we can make up for lost time by these measures that we've mentioned. They are difficult because they really get it. You know, we're social beings by nature. Mm-hmm. We love the games. We love to go into restaurants. We love seeing big, going to parties. Those are things we do naturally as human beings. But what we're asking is for everyone to make this sacrifice and really for at least, the next several weeks, maybe a couple of months, to cut back until we have a better control of this outbreak.
I got two timelines. I'm eagerly and I'm just awaiting your advice as far as for what I can and cannot do here, okay? So
yep.
I got a bachelor party coming up in May, early May, May 8th. And then, as you know, I have the wedding in July that I'm hoping that you'll be able to travel to is the idea here. But I got two things on the horizon. How safe are either one of those?
I'm going to say that the prognosis for the bachelor party is worse than for the wedding because it's relatively soon. I feel bad saying things like that to I'm very fond of both you and your fiance, but I don't want to mislead you and I don't want to mislead the listeners. This is something that could easily last a few months. And so the projections are that we may have actually the peak number of cases sometime in May. So it may be a good idea to think of alternative plans. And for the wedding, let's hope things get wrapped up here quickly.
I told our listeners before you came on, I said that, your favorite baseball writer emails you questions about the game. Okay. Like that's how into it you are. And that's how good you are at the game. I know this is killing you. I know this bothers you. When is it a realistic timeline? You said it could be months. What do you actually think in regards to us seeing games again? Because right now it continues to get pushed back.
Yeah, it's really difficult for sports fans. I'm predominantly a baseball fan, and one of the great pleasures of my life, non-work pleasures, is following the entire baseball season from spring training up to the world into the World Series. We're just going to have to put it off a bit. I don't know that anyone can make accurate projections about when the games are going to start again. I do know that it is feasible to get control of coronavirus in countries. If you watch what Korea is doing now, it's really remarkable. They're doing great testing, great infection control, and they have decreased the number of cases dramatically. And so one could see that happening in the United States. We just have to get to that point.
A lot of our listeners used to play ball, and so they still work out. I work out with at least 6 days a week at this point, and trying to get in shape for the wedding, obviously. And and I go to the gym and I use the Purell, and I think to myself, okay, I think I have my bases covered, but the gym is known for all sorts of different diseases. Am I okay just going to the gym every day?
Again, this is going to be a personal decision. Going, and not all gyms are the same. Some gyms are bigger than others. Some gyms are cleaner than others. I can say that there is not a blanket recommendation to avoid gyms. Some people are not going anymore and switching to outdoor activities. Other people are going and doing exactly what you're doing. They're using surface contamination wipes, and they have those in all gyms. and that would make plenty of sense before getting on a machine or lifting weights. And then you want to keep your distance from other people. A 6-foot distance is what we're recommending. And that's largely because the way that this virus spreads is through coughing or sneezing of droplets. And they typically don't travel further than that.
He's Dr. Paul Sachs, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and clinical director of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. All right. So I got to ask you, because I gave everyone the warning, a couple of things. I was like, do I call him uncle? Do I call him doctor? I didn't know that answer. And I also said, at family gatherings, we are the two people in the corner that are just off talking baseball, because your two interest is baseball and infectious diseases. And I can't talk about infectious diseases, so we talk baseball. So I got to ask you, Francisco Lindor, we're all bummed at this point. We all are. We're resigned to the idea that Francisco Lindor is just gone. He's not coming back. The Dolans are cheap. They're not going to open up their pocketbook. Chris Antonetti can give us the song and dance all day, but I know he didn't have a realistic meeting with him. What are your projections for Francisco Lindor? Is it a $400 million deal? Is it a $350 million deal? Like, what do you think for Lindor?
Somewhere in that range. I will say that I have known about Cleveland being a small market team for a long time. And back in the powerhouse teams of the 1990s, one of my good friends is a huge, huge Cleveland Indians fan. And I said, this team is just unbelievable. And he was shaking his head saying, it's not going to last. We can't retain these superstars. And you know, so I feel for you, but I can't make any projections better than the ones you just made, and I'm going to let you be the expert on sports, and I'll stick to the infectious diseases.
Okay, well, you're in your lane then with the infectious diseases, but I know you're in your lane with baseball too. Here's the point I want to make to you, okay? Because this bothers me, because you almost went down the smaller market hole, and I don't love that, because this is a Paul Dolan issue to me. This is a I know you read Joe Sheehan. Joe Sheehan continually writes, baseball's got enough money. Get yourself an owner. I think about owners. I think about it the way Malcolm Gladwell does, where when you buy a baseball team, you should treat it like a piece of art. And it's something you can impress your friends with, but don't treat it like a business. And you saw this in Boston. You saw this with the Red Sox, with Mookie Betts. I'm so tired of these owners that are weighing down as far as the finances are concerned and not opening up their books and letting us see exactly what is going on. Because if you open these up, if you did the autopsy on the Indians' books, I'm telling you, you would find that they're making a lot more money than they're losing on a year-in, year-out basis. And they can afford Francisco Lindor at $30 million, $35 million a year.
And he's a great player, and he's the kind of player you build a team around. And, you know, you got young fans, and most of them, their favorite player is probably Lindor. So I totally get it. And seeing Mookie Betts go is very sad for Red Sox fans. You're right. It is. There's plenty of money, and the money should go where the talent is, and not necessarily to the business people.
All right, I'm done with my self-serving baseball questions. Get back to saving the world. I appreciate you coming on.
Listen, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you so much. He's Dr. Paul Sachs, a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and clinical director of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's not hyperbole there. Like, I held up 3 minutes of someone who's saving the world right now to go ahead and ask him an Indians question, because that's where my brain goes. We can lob up the different coronavirus questions at some point, though. You got to get me back to my wheelhouse. But according to Dr. Paul Sachs, it's going to be a while before we actually see sports being played.